Find hot deals on everything you need to complete your summer projects this week during Menards Project Day Sale. Brighten any room in your home with exquisite chandeliers by Patriot Lighting. The 9-light Grenadier chandelier comes in an oil-rubbed bronze finish with white linen glass, only $119. The 6-light Juno chandelier illuminates any room with its 5 up lights and 1 down light in a beautiful brushed nickel finish with flat opal glass, only $129.
Save big money at Menards.
Need the speed to power all of your devices? Xfinity delivers the fastest and most reliable in-home Wi-Fi, so everyone can do more of what they love to do online. Get the fastest in-home Wi-Fi today, or get started with Economy Plus Internet from Comcast for as low as $19.99 a month for a whole year. See for yourself. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit Comcast.com today. Requires enrollment to EcoBill paperless billing. Offer ends 3/31/15. Restrictions apply. Limited to new customers. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply.
Other restrictions apply. See site for program and Visa prepaid card details. All personal loans are made by WebBank, a Utah Chartered Industrial Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Hey guys, it's Andy Dean here. As a radio host turned entrepreneur, I've seen firsthand how cash really is king. So instead of getting high interest rate credit cards, I turned to Prosper.com. Prosper's online marketplace connects people who need money with those who want to invest. Invest in you. You can use Prosper to borrow up to $35,000 in as few as 5 days. With Prosper.com, you can borrow money for just about anything you want. You can pay off high-rate credit cards, fix up the house, even plan a vacation. Anything you want, it's your money. Prosper.com is a better way to get the cash you need at a low interest rate. To check your low rate instantly, without affecting your good credit, go to Prosper.com/win. And now for a limited time, listeners to this station get a $50 Visa gift card with their low interest rate loan. So for up to $35,000 in your account in as few as 5 days and a $50 Visa gift card, go to Prosper.com/win. That's Prosper.com/win.
Bears fans, trust all of our shows and team of Bears experts to get you ready for the start of the regular season, along with live Bears reports from Hallis Hall, breaking Bears news, and in-depth conversation with Bears players and coaches, only on Chicago's home for Bears fans. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. Let's go! Scoreboard update.
4 o'clock from the Score Update Studio. I'm Nick Schapkowski. The Cubs are trying to make it 6 wins in a row tonight as they're in San Francisco. Joe Maddon joined the midday show today and spoke about how a team reacts immediately following a game.
We celebrate every victory hard, man. We have a great celebration in the clubhouse. I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 minutes post every game so the guys get it out of their system. And you do that, you move on to the next one. And if you lose, you lose heart for about 30 minutes, you leave all the crap in the clubhouse, and you go home and you have a nice dinner.
SpiegelandGolf.com for the full interview. 9:15 start tonight in San Fran. Jake Arrieta, Matt Cain, the pitching matchup. Today, Cubs 18-year-old prospect shortstop Gleyber Torres of South Bend is named the Midwest League Prospect of the Year. Bears practiced at Hallis Hall earlier today. Next preseason game is Saturday night in Cincinnati. Defensive tackle and second-round pick Eddie Goldman says his confidence continues to grow.
I definitely feel a lot more comfortable than when I first started out because just repetition. And, you know, the vets taking me under their wing and teaching me certain things about the game just allows me to play better, play faster.
No Alshon Jeffrey, Marquise Wilson, Pernell McPhee, or Jermond Bushrod for the Bears at practice today. White Sox in Boston tonight at U.S. Cellular Field. Southsiders trying to avoid a 3-game losing streak. They'll throw Jose Quintana. 7:10 first pitch. Catch that game right here on 670 The Score. And happy Madden Day if you're a video gamer. Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt, and Rob Gronkowski were the only players to be given a 99 rating in this year's version of the game. The scoreboard update is brought to you by the Backyard Barbecue Store, your Big Green Egg Superstore in Wilmette. And right now at Firestone Complete Auto Care, get $10 off any oil change. Visit driveafirestone.com or see store for full details. Keep your car running newer, longer. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. I'm Nick Schapkowski, and you're listening to the number one sports radio station in Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score at 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour of The Score is brought to you by Famous Dave's Legendary Barbecue.
Double fist pump.
Lynn Casper.
Good! Cubs win!
Chicago Cubs play-by-play man.
Cubs win! A complete game two-hitter for Jake Arrieta.
All the latest news and notes from the Cubs.
Go! Schroeder's done it again! Bryant with two outs. High fly ball out in the eighth. That ball!
Lynn Casper.
The other thing about Arrieta, not to go all hawk on you, but he may have the best posture of any pitcher I've ever seen.
Lynn Casper with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
At 404, Boers and Bernstein, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Really, there's nothing going on with the Cubs exciting, but we'll talk to Lynn Casper right
now. Yeah, might as well. Yeah. He's on Twitter, at Lynn Casper. He's on the Grossinger Lincolnwood Hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. Getting ready for what is probably the Giants' last stand, dare we say it. Lynn Casper with us on The Score. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, fellas. Yeah, I would say for sure it's their last stand for the wild card, but they still could win their division only a game and a half behind the Dodgers, who've lost, what, five in a row now. So it could come down to those two teams battling for one spot in the West, and the Cubs has generally been the case here for the last 3 or 4 months, kind of in a spot we, or at least I, thought they would be in by the end of the year, and that is that second wild card spot.
Well, if I'm betting Bruce Bochy versus Don Mattingly, that's an easy one for me, because if Don Mattingly wants to take out a guy who had a 400 on base percentage in August and bench him because he doesn't like the strikeouts, I'm betting against that manager, but that's just me.
Yeah, and the Dodgers bullpen has had some struggles as well, but it should be fun down the stretch. I think they play each other next week after we're in L.A. this weekend, and I'm really on this kick, and this year makes it really easy for me to get rid of the divisions. If October is the crapshoot that everybody likes it to be, the one and done wild card, the best of five division series, the best of seven NLCS and World Series, I think the best team should get in, and there's no reason that they shouldn't just balance the schedules completely, play every team home and road in your league twice, and then figure out some sort of interleague schedule, and then take the top five from each league. I don't ever want to see an 82-80 division winner get in and surpass the or bypass the wild card round. Have a wild card team have 93 wins and have to go on the road. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Interesting. I hadn't really thought about that.
The Mets, Terry. They're going to be sitting at home, and they might end up 7 or 8 games behind the Pirates and Cubs, and they're just going to kick up their feet and get ready for the division series while one of those teams in the wild card
probably
game
both better
than the Mets. Both teams sweeping the Mets in the regular season, and one's going to be out. I just think it's not as equitable as it could be.
No, it's interesting because we're even talking about this, Lenny. It's almost like you can't quite believe it. I mean, you watch it every day now. You call it every day. I still have to hit yourself in the head that all this has happened so quickly. I mean, you've gone from like, well, yeah, maybe they're okay, maybe they're but to holy crap. You know, that's quite a jump for a team that still relies a lot on four rookies. I know Solaire is hurt now. But, I mean, it's like you sometimes can't quite believe your eyes at what's going on here.
Well, the stretch is about as good as I've seen in a long time. 20-4 over the last 24 games. That's really, really hard to do. I cautioned Cub fans from panicking after they got no-hit by Cole Hamels, that they were going to be okay, that it wasn't the sign of any larger issue. And I would also caution Cub fans that, yeah, they're on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and Paul Sullivan's tweeting about jinxes, and the Cubs are probably not going to win 20 of their next 24. And in fact, if they go 2-4 on this road trip, you'd say it's a pretty good trip. You just don't want to have a disastrous week. And the Cubs are not thinking negatively, but they've put themselves in such a position that all they need to do is win one game here, one game in L.A., they're fine. Obviously, you'd like to win 2 out of 3 in both cities or a sweep, but the Cubs should be in good shape, and banking all those wins with all that time spent in Chicago really has made this thing a lot clearer in terms of what they need to do to get there. If they play .500 the rest of the way, they're really putting a ton of pressure on the Giants to be way above what they've been all year to get past them in the wild card.
Quit fighting with Sully on Twitter. I know that
Is it really?
Yeah, because it's the easy knee-jerk response to the Cubs being on the regional cover of Sports Illustrated with Pedro Strop doing his high-stepping drum major, whatever he's doing down next to Chris Bryant. I love that.
Right.
I thought it was absolutely hysterical. And then here's the picture, and then here's, oh, it's the Sports Illustrated jinx. Duh,
yes.
Duh, duh. God.
Well, I tweak Sully because I love him, and he's always taking the quirky angle, and so I like to poke him in the side every once in a while.
But we all do, because he's fun that way. That's sort of the role that he's staked out for himself. But, right, it's not sort of the active, willful ignorance of others in this town where they just decide no matter what, the Cubs can do no right and it's all wrong. And where's old man Ricketts with his big pile of money? And he's not ponying up to get the big free agents. And Chris Bryant sucks, but why isn't he here? So, I understand what he's doing.
Well, it's changed now. It's changed now, Lenny, too. I don't know if you've noticed. It's like... Yeah, okay, this is all fine, but then you know what? Then the playoffs happen.
It's right. Like, holy crap. The line keeps moving, and that's just the way it's going to be. And until you win a World Series, and even then, you still may get some pushback. But I don't think that if you're Theo, you can really worry about that. You just have to go out and do the best you can. And if you're not on board with this process and the way it's gone here, then either you haven't been paying attention or you're just predestined to not like the Cubs. That's the way I look at it.
When that line drive screamed into foul territory off the sweet spot of Kyle Schwarber's bat, 120 feet away, and I heard what you said. It was the typical, we hope everybody's okay. You hate to see that kind of thing. But what were you saying off the air? What were you thinking when that happened? Because I know people's minds just start to race because we're seeing seemingly so much of it.
We're seeing too much of it. I would never tell a fan what to do, but we see a lot of little kids behind the dugouts, and I've heard some of your conversation about it, and this is just my opinion, and Joe can speak for himself, and obviously I think what happens on the team level is that it's going to have to be a major league thing where everybody's going to do it. In spring training, I believe it's Goodyear, where the Reds and the Indians are, they have the tapered net that goes to the end of each dugout, and that seems to work pretty well, although some people may claim we should go well beyond the dugout. I don't know what that line will be, depending on the ballpark, but think about ballparks are becoming more intimate. They're building more rows of seats, taking away more foul territory. If you go back to Candlestick Park, and the Coliseum today is like the last one of its kind, but there was a lot more foul territory back in the day. Balls are hit harder, as you mentioned. So it has changed. We can't sit here and say that the game is exactly the same game that was played back in the 50s and 60s. And then on top of that, not only are there other distractions, but look, I'm as guilty of it as anybody. I will go for a walk down the middle of the street, and I'll run right into somebody's chest because I'm staring at my phone. And that's the way people are built today, and to expect them to pay attention to every pitch is completely unrealistic. So it worries me. I think there are people in the game who are very worried about it, and let's just hope that nobody suffers a fatality as the result. It makes me sick that anybody gets hurt at all when these things happen. But, it's definitely concerning for sure.
But I think the angle, too, that too few people understand, and you talk to players all the time, but there's a reason why the union has tried to collectively bargain more protection for fans. It's because these guys, the players, they understand that any swing they take could kill a kid. And it's got to be an awful feeling. Who goes to work knowing that there is a reasonable chance that just as a byproduct of somebody doing his job, and somebody innocent could be damaged.
Yeah, and where we sit in the press box, we're at a safe distance. But if I go to a game as a fan, I definitely would rather sit behind the screen or in the upper deck or in a safe spot. I'm not jaded, but I don't sit in areas where I feel like I need to catch a foul ball. I'm not kind of into that thing anymore. But I know there are people who want to be in those areas. But man, when the screamer comes in, and I think you said it earlier, Dan, one of the problems is when you're trying to get out of the way, there's no place to go. And if you do get out of the way, then the person behind you is at risk. So it's kind of a catch 22, I think, for a fan sitting in the third row behind the dugout. And this goes on in every ballpark.
Yeah,
how about the one in Pittsburgh? The lady's right behind the screen, but she had her back to the field, and she was essentially leaning into the screen, and a foul ball came back and hit her right in the back of the head. That was very, very scary. It was a fluky incident. I had never seen anything like it. But it seems to be happening more frequently now than it did in the past.
Wait,
put it that way.
You're in San Francisco listening to today's show?
I heard a little bit of it earlier, yeah.
Okay. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I went for a run and a nice walk and a beautiful day here in town, and I was checking out what you guys were talking. I figured you were talking baseball today.
Using the radio.com app, just out of curiosity?
I think it's U-Tunes I was on today.
Okay. I was just curious.
Be on something else?
No, I'm just, I